Tango Tango Papa 1885, November 30th, 2014.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Lebanon, Pennsylvania. So let's see. I ended up being able to go by home for about a little over 24 hours. I got home early in the morning on Thanksgiving morning. And got home. It was about, 6:30 a.m. When I got home, and then I went over to my cousin's, one of my cousin's houses for lunch, Thanksgiving lunch, dinner, whatever you want to call it, and then. Later on in the evening, I went over to my middle brother's house and ate again. So then after that, I went back home, and then I left Friday. I guess it was probably Friday, sometime Friday afternoon. Made it down to Russellville. Dropped the loaded trailer that I had, picked up another trailer that was loaded at the same place, and then delivered that to Pottsville, Pennsylvania. And so now I'm picking a load up in the morning here at Lebanon, Pennsylvania, which is about 40 miles or so from Pottsville. And then that load delivers to Columbus, Ohio. So, I had something really strange happen earlier this evening. I was able to drop and hook at the place where I, the load that I brought from Russellville, Arkansas to Pottsville, Pennsylvania. It could have been a live unload, but the guy, he said, well, I got drop trailers here. I'll let you just go ahead and drop it. And so that's what I did, and I picked up a trailer that had probably been parked on their property for a few days. I have no way of knowing. But in any case, I left there and I drove probably about 20 or 25 miles to a Love's truck stop that's about 12 to 15 miles from where I'm at right now. Right now I'm at the place where I'm going to be picking the load up tomorrow, the shipper. But in the meantime, I stopped at this Love's truck stop, and I was in there probably, I don't know, I was probably stopped there at least an hour. And, but, you know, so I was there, and then I went ahead and got, you know, came on over here. And it was kind of strange, because when I pulled into this place, and they got a fairly large parking area, and I pulled forward and backed up, I noticed, well, I'm leaking something. I'm, you know, there's all this liquid that's coming out of my truck, or it's dripping off of the truck. And initially I parked, and then I got out and looked, and it was kind of strange, because the back of the, it was only on the driver, or the passenger side rather, but the passenger side, the tandems on the truck were just really wet. They were drenched, and then the front of the trailer was all wet. All down the side, the passenger side of the trailer was wet, and then the tandems on the trailer were wet. On the passenger side, and so, and it's kind of hard to tell, because it's dark, and even though I had my little light, it was dark and I couldn't really, you know, so trying to determine what it was. And my, because the front of the trailer was wet underneath the reefer unit, I thought, you know, there must be something coming out of the truck that would cause this all to be wet. And so I raised the hood up and I looked and couldn't really, you know, the only thing that could possibly leak out would be oil or, there's three things that you could leak out of the truck, really, in very much quantity. It would either be oil or it would be antifreeze, or the other possibility would be fuel. And the problem is now diesel fuel, for some time now, since they've taken the sulfur out of it, you have the low sulfur diesel fuel, there is no smell to it. And it doesn't, it's not oily, you know, it used to have a kind of an oily consistency, and that was basically caused by the sulfur. And when they, nowadays they refine the sulfur, as much sulfur out of it as they possibly can, and so it has a consistency much more like water, and it doesn't really have much of a smell. It used to have a really strong, distinctive diesel fuel slash kerosene-y type, you know, kind of a kerosene type smell. Well, of course, now you take the sulfur out of it, and it really doesn't have much of a smell at all. So I thought, well, it had to be diesel fuel, especially because the front of the trailer was all wet underneath the reefer unit. And like I say, that's usually, it would have to be, whatever made it wet would have to be coming out of the truck. Well, so I sent a message to the breakdown department, and they were going to send a wrecker. And so in the meantime, I sat here for a while, and I got back out, and I looked again, and I noticed that the trailer, there was something dripping off of the top of the trailer at the back. And then I realized, well, it's probably, that had to be snow and or ice. And now I'm thinking it was probably ice. Because it wasn't dripping when I was at that Love's truck stop at all. And I was back there, you know, at the back looking at it, and it wasn't dripping at all. So, so in the meantime, to kind of make a long story short, I raised the hood up again and got my light, and I looked and looked and looked and started the engine up, and I couldn't see any place where any fuel would have been spraying out. And we're talking about lots of liquid. It was really, I was really dripping. I was leaving a path. And so that's what made me think it was diesel fuel. But I kind of satisfied myself that it really wasn't diesel fuel, and there is water, you know, it's dripping off the top of the trailer. And so I've had that happen plenty of times. So it's just happened in a weird way this time, and it's kind of fooled me. And of course, it's dark, and I can't really see all that well in the dark, you know, with the small light that I have. So I sent a message back to the breakdown department, and I said, I think it's just water coming off the top of the trailer. And so they canceled the, he called the wrecker and canceled that, and so that problem seems, you know, is handled. And I kind of feel a little bit foolish for kind of jumping to that the conclusion that it was diesel fuel, but you know, that it, I don't know it, but that's what it is, and I've satisfied myself that there is nothing leaking out of the truck at all, the back of the trailer is dripping, and what dripped on the pavement it's in the process of evaporating. So it's just taking longer because it's kind of cool. It's cold outside. It's not freezing. It's above freezing. Let me check and see what the actual temperature is. So it's above freezing, but normally you would have you know, it's not going to leak in the front, and I've never had it where it would, if you had melting, the stuff melting off the top of the trailer, I've never had that on the front of the reefer, or right on the front of the trailer below the reefer unit being wet. See, it's 41 degrees here. So I guess there must have been ice on the top of the trailer, and it just must have taken it a while before it started thawing for whatever reason. It's kind of weird, but live and learn. So anyway, I'm at the place where I'm going to be picking the load up, and I'm spending the night here. They've got a nice large parking area, and as I said, I'll be picking a load up that delivers to Columbus, Ohio. So in any case, kind of going along with what I was talking about really in the last podcast, one of the things, you know, we as human beings have a tendency to like to make things complicated. Our egos, the wrong side of our ego, loves to make things really complicated, and then that ego can kind of sink its teeth in and really sort of feel like it's, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it, sort of feel like it's God, you know, kind of solving problems the way God would, or the way it believes God would. But I think intuitively, we know that there's really a single point of failure when it comes to human beings. And of course, that single point of failure is us wanting to be as God. And we do that via resentment. We resent. That's where we go off the rails as human beings. And every problem ends up stemming from that single point of failure. So intuitively, I think we know that. But our egos like to, it can't be that simple. It can't be that simple. And we complicate things. We make things really complicated. We want things to be complicated. And then I think our ego sort of loses itself. It's able to kind of lose itself then in trying to fix this problem and fix that problem, and you know, when in fact there's really a single point of failure, and that single point of failure, as I said, is resentment. Our the wrong side of our ego sort of puffing up, wanting to play God. And but we know that there really is a single point of failure. I mean, from an intuitive standpoint, we kind of know that. And then, but you always have people. It can't be that simple. It's really complicated. We end up sort of diving into all of the, you know, tons and tons and tons of minutia. And then trying to either get rid of the symptoms, attacking the symptoms of the problem, get rid of the symptoms, kind of like if you have a tire that's bulging, try to push it back in and put a patch on it or something. To try to or if you, or let's say you have a, you know, the termites are eating your wall away, and you paper over it. See, so you kind of get rid of the problem. Or you have a house that's rotting away, and you try to fix it by either putting siding on it to try to hide the problem, or the thing's being eaten by termites, and you try to hide the problem, or you paint over it, or try to get rid of it somehow. It's out of sight, out of mind. And we have a tendency to try to attack the symptoms, get rid of the symptoms instead of really trying to solve the problem, look for the root cause of the problem. And that ends up, of course, just making the problem worse. Because if you can get rid of the symptoms, if you can get rid of the symptoms of something without really addressing the root cause of the problem, then the symptoms are just, there's going to be more of a problem that pops. You may get rid of the symptoms if you're lucky, but then some other problem, worse problem typically, is going to pop out elsewhere. But there really is a single point of failure. And I know there are people that disagree with that, and they want to think, oh, it's more complicated. Well, think that way. Go ahead. See how far it gets you. See if living your life that way, see how well that works for you, because chances are it won't. Chances are that it's similar to worshiping false gods. Are your false gods going to do anything for you? Of course they're not. They cause your soul to atrophy. And of course the false god worship is everywhere. There are little, people are making shrines all over the place, and it's not just a little totem that you build in the corner of your living room. Make your own little false shrine. It happens in the mind, and it's everywhere. With everything you can possibly think of, people are making false idols out of it, whatever it is, and it can be anything, including religion itself. Religion and God and the Bible, all of those things can be. That's probably the most pernicious thing of all. They can be made into false shrines, false gods, idolizations. And the people that are doing that then have the perfect, they've got the perfect excuse, because they're going to church and doing all the right, sing song and doing all the right things, and in the meantime, they're going to hell in a handbasket. And even worse, they're probably driving their kids insane. Why do you think that religion has failed? Why do you think that religion is in the process of dying? Because it's hypocritical. Religion has essentially failed the country. Why do we have a moral crisis? Why are so many people, their lives are empty? I was watching, when I was in that Love's truck stop, they had a television on in there while I was eating my chicken, and there was a story about this Ohio State student. He was supposed to play, maybe in a football game this weekend, and he went missing. His friends said that he said he was going to go outside for a walk. And this was maybe 3 or 4 days ago, and he was going to go, or maybe it was Thursday. He was in the evening, late in the evening, he was going to go out, he was going to go for a walk. And so then he turned up missing, because he never showed up for some kind of football practice or whatever. And his parents filed a missing persons report. And 22 years old. And they guess where? The woman found him around the corner from his apartment in the dumpster. with a gun, and he killed himself. He self-inflicted gunshot wound. He killed himself. Now, what would make someone, and it really doesn't matter, you know, 22, especially 22 years old, what would make someone 22 years old decide that blowing themselves away was a solution? What would drive someone to do that? Can you blame the parents, or do you blame the school or the college? Oh, in this case, it would be Ohio State University. Blame them? Who do you blame? How is it, you know, you have to, the guy has to take his own responsibility. I think that's the biggest mistake you can make is killing yourself. That's a terrible mistake, and I personally don't think that's a way out. He's not only dead, but the way I look at it, he's both dead and wrong. But what would drive someone to do that? How would someone's, obviously there's some family failure involved. Maybe he felt like he was under pressure from the school, or from his friends perhaps, or from the football, I don't know. But what would drive someone to do that? There's plenty of it that goes on. It happens every day of the world. A lot of times we don't hear about it. So, but I think it comes down, you know, these environmentalists love to talk about sustainability. From a society standpoint, they can talk about, you know, and of course they're talking about environmental sustainability, what about moral sustainability? Does the United States of America have moral sustainability? I think we've lost it. I think we've lost our moral sustainability. That's what's wrong, in a sense. You could say that's what's wrong. That's what's gone wrong with the country. There's no more moral sustainability. It's gone. Flew the coop. And if you don't have moral sustainability, you end up with some kind of dictatorship. But there is no, the moral sustainability is gone. Now, that's one of the reasons why you have churches. Churches, if the church is performing its function, church is almost like, it's a prison for spiritual criminals. And so church, the idea of church is, and religion it really is to sort of contain people from falling farther, kind of stop them from moral decay, or sort of arrest it. Arrest further soul atrophy. And that's really the function of church, is to kind of keep people in prison. But the problem is that it has in large part, it can easily turn into, it turns into sort of a social club. I'm okay, you're okay. God loves you just the way you are. And the preacher's going to smile at you. And they pass the collection plate around. And we all sing song and smile at each other and give each other good feelings. And in the meantime, we become more rotten. The rotten side of our ego is sustained. The rotten side of our ego is validated. And everything becomes worse. And then the kids see that. They see the hypocrisy. And chances are there's no meaning in their lives. And what do you do if there's no meaning in your life? I guess one solution is to kill yourself. Jump in the dumpster and kill yourself. And make no mistake about it, the most intense evil is aimed at children. It really is. It is aimed at children. It's aimed at, at least in the United States of America, it's been concentrated at the kids via the school system, and it's been going on for a number of years. This isn't something that just happened yesterday. It's been going on for years and years and years. It's not something that just kind of happened. But the evil is really aimed at children. And it's gotten worse over generations. It takes about three generations to really destroy a country, to really chip away at the moral foundation. And it's aimed at children. And in the meantime, you have the school administrators and the people that are working in the school, and they... Well, I'm doing the best I can, and it's those stupid parents, they're not taking their responsibility, and, well, of course they're not, because they were, each generation becomes successively worse. And as I say, it takes about three generations, and you can really destroy a country. And then you've destroyed the moral sustainability. And without moral sustainability, there's no country. You just have a farm of animals that sort of look like human beings. You have a country full of them, and then you can just mold them and shape them in any way you want. But in the process, you end up with chaos. Sooner or later, you end up with concentration camps, and mass killings, etc., etc. It's happened over and over again. But the moral sustainability has been destroyed via the school system. So, and there's, at this point, there's nothing you can do about it. the only possible solution would be if there's some sort of a moral revival. And that can, those have happened in the past, so that can happen again. It's not something that can be, you can't just rule it out and say that it will never happen, because it has happened more than once in the past. Therefore, chances are, since it has happened in the past, it will happen at some point in the future, but it's not really predictable. Other than to say that since it has happened, it will happen, but can't say when. Don't know. In the meantime, people have to suffer. So really, you know, if the system, you're not going to save the system. You can be saved from the system. It is possible to live a very sane existence in an insane world, you know, surrounded by insane people. So if you go to my website, truckertompodcast.com, up at the top there's a link that says meditation. Click on that link. I have about, I don't know, 4 files, I believe, hosted on my server. You can, they're MP3 files. You can download them, burn them to CD, play them right on your phone, on your, you know, whatever mobile device you have, iPod, you know, whatever, MP3 player of some sort. And those files will teach you how to meditate. And it's a very simple meditation technique. And it basically it teaches you how to come out of your thoughts and live in the present moment, be in the present moment. And it sounds simple, but it's really, if you really give that a try, I can't promise it's going to help everybody, but I do believe that it'll help most people. And if you find that it helps you, if you find that you end up doing that and you feel better, it's up to you to continue with it. And that meditation can help bring you to an objective state, a state where you see things for yourself. And that's where you want to be, or at least that's where I want to be. I want to be able to see things for myself, know things for myself, and that really is at least where I want to be. I want to be able to know things for myself and be in that objective state. And it's a paradox has resulted because I see the problems out in the world. I see that you know, there isn't, you know, that our society has no more moral sustainability. That's gone for a lot of people, and or at least for the group. But on the other hand, even though there are problems, I feel strangely sort of removed from them. It's a paradox. You know, so it's kind of, you know, one way explaining it is kind of like in the world, but not of it. In an objective state, identity it's coming from somewhere else. You can say it comes from within, but that from within is coming from somewhere else. It's not coming from the outside. It's not coming from the group. I'm okay, you're okay. Get a bunch of people that sort of are worship. They're all worshiping the same idol, you know, and all kind of smiling at each other, trying to, you know, safety in numbers type of thing. Because that is all false. It's fake and phony. So, but meditation's on my website. Give it a try. As I say, I can't promise it'll help everybody, but I do believe it'll help most people. And ultimately, I believe that if you're a searching person, you're going to search. If you're really searching, you're going to search until you find the truth, until you're able to really look for the truth. And you're not going to, you won't give up until you find it. And if if you're not really searching, then you can easily be derailed. So, anyway, while I was home, I think I mentioned I ordered a, from QVC, I had ordered a Keurig 2.0 coffee maker. And so I was able to get that, and while I was home briefly and kind of try it out, pretty happy with it. It's the 2.0 version, so it does have it's like digital rights management, because you're supposed to use the little K-cups that say Keurig brewed on them, and they've got a little logo, and what that thing is doing is looking for something in the ring of the lid of the K-cup, some sort of, I don't know if it's magnetic or what it's exactly looking for. There are plenty of videos on YouTube describing how you can get around that if you want to and use non-Keurig K-cups. And I guess they're, you know, those are somewhat less expensive, but I don't know. I don't think they're that expensive to start with, and those things are for sale all over the place, including Walmart. So, I don't drink coffee, but do drink lots of tea, and there's a lot of different types of beverages available. Keurig has got deals with, they've got at least 300, I think I heard somewhere about 330 different choices currently, with more being added all the time for beverages. A lot of those are coffee, but there's a lot of other things besides coffee. A lot of different types of tea and what have you. So, personally, I'll be drinking tea, different types of tea and some hot chocolate, but it's also nice because whenever I have either my parents are there, my brother's there, or other people come, then I'll be able to offer them some kind of coffee of their choice, versus otherwise, you know, maybe I have some Diet Coke there. So, but the Keurig's really nice. It gives you really good flexibility, and it does a great job. You know, I tried it out with tea and some hot chocolate, and it did a good job. And I didn't realize it at first, but the tea, you can reuse those. It's kind of like the tea bags. You know, most of the time, if you brew some tea and you have the hot water and you put the tea bag in it, in most cases, you can reuse the tea bag a second time with more hot water. Well, in this case, these little K-cups with the tea in them, at least the Earl Grey that I tried, I can reuse those a second time, and it works. You know, the second cup is just, you know, maybe not quite as strong as the first cup, but still quite usable. So, Now, I don't know about coffee, if you want to reuse the coffee grounds. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't drink coffee. But in the case of the tea, at least with the Earl Grey, can reuse that little K-cup a second time, and that works just fine. So, pretty happy with that. I think I'm going to enjoy having that around, and like I say, that'll be pretty nice to have whenever I have company, and then I can offer them something to drink besides Diet Coke, you know, in the case of, or maybe some tea, if you know, like instant tea, and that's usually all I have. So, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off and see if I can get it put together, and then I need to get headed to bed and maybe get up in the morning and see if I can get the load loaded and get headed towards Ohio. So anyway, hope everyone has had a great Thanksgiving Day weekend. And back to work tomorrow, being Monday. So in any case, I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.